The second scripture reading today is from Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word.
You got it all, Deb. I gave you a little easier time with the second passage than I did with the first one. I have to laugh just a little bit this morning at the title of the message in the bulletin is not the correct title. It is the title up here on the screen. Maybe it was switched because maybe Judy looked at the word wrong or thought, what's he mean by this? Because this title works. You and I are without strength and without power. We're impotent. But he is omnipotent. That's the title of the message this morning, and I wanted to highlight that for you, because I wouldn't say we're really that important in and of ourselves, except that God does value us. He thinks we are important. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again. So that would work, too, as a title. But I wanted to bring out what's on the screen and not what's in the bulletin, so we get the essence of what I wanted to talk about this morning. You know, have you ever had a job that needed to be done, but it was too much for you to do? I try to take on too much sometimes. I try to take on something that is probably beyond my skill level. It's beyond my knowledge, and you end up with a mess. Sometimes that job, it's either too big, it's too hard, I'm too inexperienced, or maybe I'm just scared to tackle it because I've never done it before. What do you do when you're in that kind of a situation? What should you do? Guys don't oftentimes do it, but what should you do? Ask for help. Ask for help when you're in over your head. That's what you ought to do, is ask for help. Ladies maybe are a little bit more prone to go ahead and do that. Guys, because of pride and so many other things, are like, no, I can handle it. I got it. I know whenever I'm doing a job in the morning, I try to do the job in the morning because I know I can get back and forth to the hardware store 14 times before I get the thing right, before it closes. You know, the job that you do in an hour takes 8 hours to do. So many times that happens. So what does get in the way of us getting a job done? I mentioned one already, pride, right? Pride gets in the way. Sometimes it is, as I said, inexperience. Maybe it's the denial of its importance, or denial of the need for some kind of expertise. Maybe it's just that we don't have the equipment to do, the tools that we need to do what needs to be done. That being said, I wanted to talk about the story here this morning in the Old Testament. I love a lot of these Old Testament stories. I'll tell you what, they'd make great movies if you put them on the screen. Some of them have been made into movies. I haven't seen this particular one this more, but maybe at some point we might. This story, this little story about Elisha, now to put it in context, this was just after Elijah had been whisked away into heaven on a chariot fire. And now it's Elisha that has to deal with these stubborn people called Israelites. The northern tribe was much more stubborn at this point in time than the southern tribe was. Judah still was led half the time by good kings and the other half of the time by bad kings. And if you looked at Israel, the northern kingdom at this point, they were pretty much led by rotten kings almost all the way through. They were the first ones to be exiled. At the time of this text right now, it's probably somewhere around the late 800s BC, not quite 900 BC, but close to that. 170 or so years later is when they would finally be exiled. That shows me something. We have a patient God. Because they were a miserable crew, those Israelites in the northern kingdom, because they were being led by all of these bad kings. And here we are in the context now in 2 Kings, where this one king, some of you may recall, Ahab had just died. Not a good king. Bad king. Horrible king. Even worse yet was the woman he married. Jezebel. Does anyone know of a child named Jezebel? If you know of a child named Jezebel, I don't think the parents loved their child very much. Jezebel in the Bible, that was a bad word. Jezebel, she was a horrible, horrible queen. She was about to die, but hadn't died yet. And here we are in the context now. This prophet Elisha is trying to help the Israelites, the northern kingdom, navigate life, but do so looking to God, which they hadn't been doing a very good job of doing at all. So here we are in this chapter then, to kind of set up this chapter 6 here, where in these verses that we read, Israel is being invaded by King Aram and the Arameans. This wasn't a full-out war, but it was raids coming into to Israel. And Aram was stronger than Israel was. Elijah was there to kind of help out the people in Israel. And so they're coming into the country. We know that they're coming into the country because it says they were in this place called Dothan, which was in Israel. So we know that Israel was perceived as weak. Aram was perceived as stronger. They were coming into the country and raiding. But what was happening was kind of interesting. You know, when you have a prophet on your side and the prophet is telling you what you need to know, it kind of helps a little bit, doesn't it? So here was Elisha telling the king of Israel and those leading the army, here's what King Aram is saying as it comes out of his mouth. Not even being with him, God is giving him the ability to know exactly what's coming out of the king of Aram, what was coming out of his mouth. And he was telling the people, okay, don't go here, don't go there, don't do this, don't do that. And it was frustrating this king who was wanting to attack Israel. And at every turn, he was frustrated because it seems like they knew what was going on before I even did it. So what's he do? He's blaming his own folks. He's someone, I've got a spy somewhere in my ranks. And all of the leaders of his army says, we are with you, man. We haven't been saying anything. We don't know what's going on. This went on for a while. Finally, the king gets to Dothan with his large army and surrounds the city. And the servant who is listening to Elijah thinks, oh boy, now we've ran out of options. Here they are. But we see in this whole event that's going on, something else is happening that the servant cannot see, but Elisha sees, because Elisha is following and trusting God while the servant is just listening to Elisha. So finally, what's Elisha do in this text? Verse 17 of chapter 6. After he says to the servant, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Which was not true on a physical level. The Aram army was bigger. The Aramean army was bigger than the army of Israel, at least those that were there. And then Elisha prays this prayer. Oh, Lord, open this servant's eyes so he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Wouldn't it be good if you and I could see what was going on in the heavenlies? If we could go, we could see what was going on in the spiritual realm, because a lot of times we're all sitting here at this plane looking at what's going on and we feel overwhelmed. We feel like there's no way we can get through this or out of this or whatever. And we're overwhelmed by what's going on. But here's Elisha, the prophet, saying, open his eyes and let him see what's going on. And so the servant's eyes are open and here's this massive army of horses and chariots surrounding Elisha and the servant. Should be saying then to the servant, going to be okay. Going to be okay. But the story goes on and the army still comes to invade a little bit. They can't see what's going on. And in fact, they are blinded. Whether they are literally blinded or not, they are blinded by what is actually going on. And Elisha tells them, go someplace else. This is where they're at. They couldn't see what was going on. And by the time their eyes are open, they're a long ways away from where the war was supposed to be taking place. A lovely story. Now, later on, if you continue on with the text, they did invade Samaria later, but God rescued them from that siege eventually as well. Now, this sort of stuff happened throughout Israel's history before they were ultimately exiled. So many times God would come through in some powerful ways. The battle. That idea that Elisha would say to the servant, and the servant would ultimately see, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Or as we could say today in the world we live in, the power of one. If we have God behind us, that's more than the armies of hell. If we have God, just God and nothing else, not even his angels, if we had God alone behind us, nothing else in this world could conquer that. The power of just one. You and I think, need to realize that in and of our own strength, we are impotent. And we don't think we are sometimes. We think we're all powerful. We think we can manage all of life. We think we can get through whatever it is that's going on. We think we can conquer someone else. We think. And you know what? We need to get to a point where we realize we are impotent. And God is omnipotent. And if we would follow God like the prophet Elisha was, and those around him who weren't really that concerned about God right now, trying to introduce them to, guess what's happening in the spiritual realm here? God has surrounded us with this army of horses and chariots of fire. And we're going to be okay. Need to know that. We need to know that. What's the main point then of this story for us? First and foremost, I think it's this. We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. Not just live our life like the people in Israel were, not of any concern of what God was doing. They were living their lives the way they wanted to live their lives. And you know what ends up happening when we do that? Oh, we're sinners. We're tainted by our sin. And we live in sinful ways. And we live for self and we don't live for Him. When we're doing it all on that human plane without any regard for God, that's the way we start to live. And we continue to head down that way. Unless somehow, some way, God intervenes. And sometimes God intervenes through our own repentance and letting Him know, God, I need you. So perhaps first and foremost in this story is when the enemy is coming, we need to seek the Lord, right? We need to seek the Lord. And number two, we need to remember this. Don't underestimate the power of God, the omnipotence of God. Don't underestimate the power of God. We put Him in a little box. We make God less potent than He is because we restrict God as to what He can do. God, you can't fix this. I'm going to have to do it myself. Boy, am I an idiot to think that way. Seek God and recognize and don't underestimate the power of His omnipotence. Our battles oftentimes in this world, we think they're rigged against us, don't we? But the righteous battle will be won. So many times we think the battles in this world are rigged against us. But the righteous battle will be won. We need to ask God to see and not be blinded by our own impotence. Sometimes we're just blind. You know, hindsight is always better than foresight anyway, isn't it? I can oftentimes in my life look back at what God has done, and I see His fingerprints all over it. But when I'm in the middle of a battle, sometimes it's harder for me to see what God is doing. Partly because I think I'm still trying to deal with a lot of it myself. And I'm not truly giving Him the reins to do what He needs to do. We need to ask to see and not be blinded by our own sin, our own inadequacy, our own pride, our own greed, our own unforgiveness, our own whatever it is that blocks us from seeing Him work. And then lastly, what I would encourage us to do is what we read in Ephesians chapter 6. Not the whole text. I didn't have Deb read the whole text. She probably would have slapped me, so I just had to read 3 or 4 verses. About putting on the armor of God. Because that's the real way to fight the enemy. Because you know what? The enemy never has been, never will be, people. The enemy is the principalities and the powers of this evil world. It's not people. And yet sometimes we make people the enemy. We should never make people the enemy. It's the principalities and the power. You know, the other thing, the side note to this whole story about the king and the Israelites and when they defeated him. Do you remember how they treated him after they finally came up and captured them? What did the servant ask Elisha? Hey, should I kill him? Should we kill him? What did he tell him to do? This is interesting. Doesn't always happen this way in the Old Testament. He says, feed them and send them on their way. That didn't happen very often, but here it happened here. I mean, isn't that kind of interesting? I think even in that little story, you can say ultimately the battle is not against people, but it's against the principalities and the powers. Now, yes, later on they were defeated in another battle because they wouldn't leave him alone. Wasn't God showing a bit of grace and a bit of mercy here, even in the story? Doesn't God show you and me a bit of grace and a bit of mercy? But what I want us to realize today is this. We live our lives sometimes in impotence because we are trying to live our life in our own strength. Or we're living our life just giving God a little bit of that which I want to give Him because there's some parts of my life I don't want to give to Him. And so we're still living our life in a relative impotence. And God is saying, if you give it all to me, you can live under the omnipotent God. And He can take care of whatever, anything that's going on in our life. God can take care of it. And we don't give Him the opportunity to do it because we won't give it to Him. Give it to Him. Ask God to help you to see. Ask God maybe to help you to look back previously. See, He did it before, didn't He? He can do it again. He can do it again. So whether it's a personal thing you're dealing with or whether it's the whole world that we're dealing with right now, God is omnipotent. We, in our own strength, are impotent. If you give it to Him and follow Him, we have the omnipotent God taking care of whatever it is. So whatever your battle is, you can have victory through Him who strengthens you. Not victory through you, victory through Him who strengthens you and me. Let's remember that this morning. Because I think our default so many times, I'll take care of it. And we leave Him out of it. You know what you end up with when you do that? A mess. A mess. I hope you get from the story this morning what I believe is right there in front of us. God is omnipotent. Let's trust Him like Elisha was doing. Then we can see God really working in some powerful ways. Not the way the Israelites were doing it. See, they even were living as impotent because they were saying, Elisha, what should we do? What should we do, Elisha? Because we don't know what to do. We haven't been seeking God. Elisha was seeking God. And God showed Elisha what they should do. All right? Let's pray. God, thank You. Thank You for these stories in the Old and the New Testament that remind us of the way we oftentimes are trying to live our life in our own strength and constantly falling short. Looking at something that's way too big for ourselves, but too stubborn to give it to you, too prideful to give it to you. God, help us to live our lives under the omnipotent presence of God through your Holy Spirit, being redeemed by the one who died on the cross and rose again at Calvary. We've got everything we need to defeat the enemy. The enemy is not people, but the enemy are the principalities and the powers. Help us to keep that in mind. And we thank you that the battle has already been won. In Jesus' name.